Hi, we're the Big Three. I'm Don.
No.
And I'm Scary Perry.
And I just want to say, we've got a podcast that we listen to all the time. Tell them about it, Perry.
Big fucked up Jesus. I mean, feathery Jesus.
Sweet that feathery Jesus.
Sweet fucked up feathery Jesus.
Is that funny? You see, what
yeah,
you
because they're
saying?
Pissing me off. They never sent any, they didn't send any money. Or then again, they could have sent money and somebody kept the money.
Oh, you're going to say that I stole money from you? Like you took money out of my wallet?
Hey,
that,
that was fucking 90 years ago, motherfucker, and
wait,
you got
you
it back.
It? All right, but you admitted last week. Your neck.
What's your neck, dude?
Your neck. It's your neck,
my
right?
Nuts.
Oh.
All right, check him out. All right, sweet see. Feathery Jesus.
Man with a pussy. He's biologically a woman. With a lady's front bottom. Not a winkle or cock. He can't wank in a sock. Like what you.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Belasco from Sweet Feathery Jesus for the SweetFeatheryJesus.com podcast. Tonight is a little different show. We're discussing someone that we mentioned in passing on a previous show, Buck Angel, who bills himself as the man with a pussy. He is 100% male, except for the fact that he has a vagina. And he was willing to discuss this aspect of his life with us, and we really appreciate it. So you're going to hear now an interview with Buck Angel, with myself and Booze from the UK and Dr. P. And we're going to be discussing with him his career in the adult film industry, the things he's experienced, the things he's learned, and the things he'd like for individuals to know. International porn star Buck Angel, winner of the AVN Awards, January 20, 2007, Transsexual Performer of the Year, bills himself as the man with a pussy. Buck Angel, welcome to the Sweet Feathery Jesus podcast.
Thanks for having me on. I think I saw your Twitter somewhere, and that's how I got in touch with you guys. Is that correct?
That is correct. That's absolutely correct. You were mentioned in passing on one of our previous episodes, and then you got in touch with us. I really appreciate that.
Of course, because I had a feeling you guys might not really understand me, so I thought, you know, I always take the opportunity anytime I can to try to get on a show that people might not understand me and might be open to discussing that, and you guys were super cool about having me on.
Oh, yeah, we're really happy about having you on. This is a real treat. One of the people that knew about this interview coming up wanted to know, what's the dumbest thing you've ever been asked about the transsexual subject? So I want to make sure I mark that off right at the beginning, as I'm sure it's here.
Okay, so are you asking me that question?
I am asking, because I don't want to ask it again.
You know, there's actually a couple dumb questions, but I mean, honestly, I don't really think they're dumb questions, because people just don't understand. One of the questions I get a lot is, what restroom do I use?
That was mine.
I'm just crossing that one off as well.
I mean, okay, step back for just a minute and forget my past, forget all of that, but just look at me, right?
Right.
I can't walk into a woman's restroom. I would be arrested. I look like a man. Physically, I am a man. I just happen to have a vagina, but my vagina isn't, you know, swinging out in the airport or wherever I'm at. People don't know about it unless they see naked pictures of me or unless I take my clothes off in front of them. So I'm legally a man. I'm legally in the United States of America. They reissued me a brand new birth certificate, and they issued all of my documentation in mail. So I've had a legal sex change. So I'm legally a man. me. I had to go have a hysterectomy because I had problems from 20 years of taking testosterone. I had to go here in Mexico and have emergency surgery. The doctors didn't even bat an eye. They just were so great about it, and they didn't even think anything about the fact that I had a vagina. They were just like, we have to help this guy, and that's that.
Cool.
Yeah.
Because this is such an unusual subject, I really feel like this is just a bunch of dudes talking. Mm-hmm. One of them just happens to have a vagina.
Exactly.
Yeah. The G-spot is a complete myth, isn't it?
No, it's not.
Oh, man.
No.
God. I can't
find
that thing.
Dr. P's
going
to ask you if the clitoris is a myth.
Not if you've seen my clit. You'll definitely know it's not a myth.
Oh, I was so hoping that's a myth.
So what, you keep missing it? Is that what you said?
Keep missing it. I haven't been able to find it yet.
I'll tell you how to find it.
Well, I've done the whole come hither thing, and it just never seems to work.
Well,
in different spots on different chicks, dude.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes.
You won't find that spot the same way twice.
Okay.
Come hither is generally a good...
The man knows what he's talking about.
That would be Dr. P. Now, Dr. P is a little more... He's a little more uncomfortable about all this.
I'm always saying be respectful of other people, live and let live.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, I don't always say it, but it's implied. So you go into a men's room. You obviously have to find a toilet.
Well, most of the time I use a stall. Because I just want to have to deal. And you know what? I sit down. Why do I care about standing up? But with that said, I can stand up. I've taught myself how to stand up and pee. But the problem is...
You can use the urinal?
I can use the urinal. The problem being I have to pull my pants all the way down to my ankles, and that's not cool. People freak out.
And if somebody standing beside you, they'd probably freak out, too.
Yeah, they think I'm, like, peeing like a four-year-old little boy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, I think I'm going to do that in a public restroom now, just to try
drop
it
your
out.
Pants all the way.
Yeah, just completely drop them. How you doing?
Hey, just for the benefit of our listeners who might not know anything about you at all, Buck, do you want to give us a little brief rundown of your history? I'm sure you're used to doing that, so you're probably the best person to do it.
Sure thing. I was born female, and I had a sex change to a man, but because I had top surgery where they basically took my breasts off, and I built up a chest by working out at the gym, and then I have to take testosterone. I have to shoot testosterone in my body every week because I don't have testicles, so I don't produce testosterone, but I chose not to have what we call bottom surgery, which is attaching a penis, and there is a couple reasons why. One, doing the research, the penis surgery is really not good. You don't get a
They're
function.
Horrible at it.
Horrible.
I looked at pictures online from this prestigious place that's supposed to be the best at it, and they did not resemble penises hardly. They were rough.
Exactly. So why would I do that? Number one. Number two. Why would I have the chance to lose my orgasm? You know, you have a 50% chance of losing your orgasm. I love sex, obviously. I don't need to have a penis that bad. You know, I have like 10 penises in my drawer. I don't need a penis. I just don't need it. It's like $70,000. It's like, dude, we could buy a killer ass truck for $70,000.
That is a lot of money for an ornament, basically.
For something that may not even function correctly.
Exactly.
How big were your breasts when you had them removed?
I had very small breasts. They were like I didn't even wear a bra. They were very, very small. I was very lucky because they were so small that I could have a specific kind of surgery, which is called a keyhole incision, which they actually use on biological men who have what's called gynecomastia. So that's why I have no scars on my chest. My doctor did an amazing job. He basically treated me like a man with gynecomastia.
Wow. I think I've been out with some girls who have had that done, actually, but...
When you were a little kid, when you were a child, did you just hate girls and girly stuff?
Always. I mean, the thing that's what's so interesting is really my parents raised me as a boy because I have an older sister and a younger sister, but I was and I'm the middle, and they raised me like a boy. I always felt like a boy. It was never an issue for me to be very masculine and always feel that way. The problem came when puberty hit, and I started growing breasts. I started menstruating, and I was feeling, you know, what the hell's going on? I'm a guy. This just shouldn't be happening to me. Everything went downhill from there.
Do you have any children?
No. I never had the desire to do that, or, you know, I didn't really even enjoy sex until after my sex change. I mean, I was sexual, but I had to be drunk or really high and out of my mind, and, you know, I never really was sober and dealt with sex because I hated my body so much.
Right, and I think you mentioned that you got, you kind of, because you hated your body so much, you got involved in drugs and alcohol, and I was curious if that was just a way of... Because some people use drugs and alcohol to numb the pain, and some people are truly addicts. And I'm wondering if it was one or the other with you, or if it's both, or...
Yeah, no, that's a great question, by the way. And I'll let you know, which a lot of people are going to disagree with me, but it doesn't matter. This is what I'm telling you for myself.
Okay.
Yes, I had a very, very bad drug and alcohol problem. I mean, I tried to commit suicide many times. I was out of my mind. I hated myself. I hated life. I hated being... I can only say to you, imagine if you one day woke up and you were in a woman's body. You would not be happy. You would be freaked out, and you would be like...
For about 5 minutes, I'd be all right.
You might want to play with yourself first, and then you might want to kill yourself. But honestly, it was a horrifying, and I had that for such a long time. But so what happened was when I got sober first, and through sobriety, I realized that I could, you know, change my gender. And then once I changed my gender, I realized I really believe my drug and alcohol addiction came from my gender stuff, which was not feeling comfortable in my body gender-wise, because now I don't feel like I'm a drug addict or an alcoholic. You know, I just feel like I've been cured from that.
Oh, okay. So
do you ever drink anymore, Buck?
Oh, I haven't drank.
Have you just stopped it completely?
Yeah, no, that's a good question, too. I haven't drank for 20 years only because I don't want to drink. I mean, I had such a bad, you know, bad past with it that I just have no desire to drink anymore. I could pick up a drink. It's been 20 years. I just don't have the desire to do it because I think I just don't feel like being out of my mind. I like being sort of here and feeling where I'm at. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right on. Yeah. I'm at about 10 months myself.
All right. That's awesome.
Yeah. Listen to some of the earlier podcasts. You'll understand.
Yeah, you can hear Dr. P three sheets to the wind in some of the earlier shows.
So do you think you had a problem with alcohol?
I think I had a habit. No,
just problem had a problem with podcasting. Like,
no, and particularly just like socially, it had gotten to be a real crutch. I just went out and drank, you know, anything that had to do with gatherings. And I don't know, it just got to be too frequent, but I didn't like 12-step or anything like that. I just quit drinking.
Well, good for you. I mean, at least you could do that. I mean, I did 12-step, and I did it for like 3 to 4 years every single day. But that's why I told you that people are not going to like what I say. But, I don't know if you've done research on me. I don't give a shit what people think about me. I just say what's on my mind.
Oh, so, yes, we discovered that.
So really, I do think, in a sense, I was cured. I do not feel like drinking. I don't feel like I'm a drug addict. I feel like I've been cured, and that has a lot to do with me being comfortable in my body and finding who I was.
And that is a very controversial statement, because a lot of people in the program would say that, no, you're never cured. You're always an addict, and it's always a part of your life. But you're saying, no, that's something that I've sloughed off. I just don't have the desire anymore.
No, so that's why I have to disagree with them. And I disagree that not everybody is that way. There's a lot of issues that people don't deal with and why they drink. And sometimes when you come to terms with those issues, and then it's sort of like you just have this new awakening. I think it's really sort of actually counterproductive when they tell people that you're never going to get cured. Do you know what I mean? It's sort of like keeping them within that sort of cultish attitude of that you're never going to get cured and that you need us forever. I don't think it's a healthy, positive way to teach people to sort of get into recovery.
You mean you have to confront the reasons why you were doing it in the first place.
Exactly.
And make the changes. But not many people make changes in, you know, the way that you have.
No, quite such a drastic way. Yeah, 100%. And a lot of people are scared to confront what makes them get high, what makes them drink. I mean, you know, when you drink like that daily and you're wasted and you're out of your mind, there's something wrong. I mean, there's nothing wrong with drinking or even smoking weed or doing all that. Who cares? As long as you're not out of control and, you know, making an idiot of yourself every day.
It's all about moderation.
Exactly.
That's it. And well, you don't want to let yourself go now, Buck, because then you'd just be another fat white guy with a beard. We don't need more of them. You can come on Sweet for Every Jesus, so.
Yeah, you'd fit in with most of those guys.
I'm curious. I often see you photographed with a cigar. What is your cigar of choice, just in...
You know, right now I'm smoking a Griffin, which is a really nice, a really light, kind of more light cigar. But, you know... Sorry?
Is it one of those Cubans that you can only get in Mexico? Because
No. You know what? I'm not a huge fan of Cubans, and okay. Only because Cubans are super intense, and I like a Cuban every once in a while, and I can smoke Cubans here. And actually, in the UK, you can smoke Cubans, too, but I'm not a big... It's not my favorite cigar of choice. Definitely not.
Because I'm kind of getting into cigars myself, and I like try what people like. And
I'll have to send you some good cigars so you can try some.
Oh, you're too kind. Now, I do have one question that, you know, when you made the transition from living as female to male, what would you say? I mean, other than the obvious, I mean, you're in the adult industry, and that's the obvious thing. What is probably the most feminine part of your life that you carried over into the transition?
I would say that I have kept sort of like, I don't know how to say it. I don't want to say female intuition,
right?
Because I don't really know if that's really what it is. But being around guys, I know that a lot of times they don't have the same, or my emotional, sort of like I kept a little bit of my emotional attachment where I'm allowed, where I can feel, and I let myself cry and I let myself get more emotional, where I think men, you know, who are raised male are not so much allowed to cry, right? You're not allowed to feel your feelings. You're not allowed to be those things. And I've kept that part of myself.
That's a huge part of the male experience. Don't cry, you know, yes. Don't be a pussy and that kind of thing.
Don't be a pussy, right? Like, as if that's a bad thing. Like, you know, if more men cried and let themselves let go a little bit, I guarantee you the world would be at a better place.
You hear that, P?
I think he's crying right now.
I guess you got sober. I'm taking it you didn't dress particularly girly to begin with. You probably were jeans and t-shirt kind of living as a female.
Well, you were a model though, Buck, right? When you were a woman.
Yes, when I was female, I was a model, but that was work. I got paid to dress like that, and so it wasn't that. And actually, I was always drunk, always coke and always drunk, so that wasn't how I dressed on a daily basis. It was very difficult for me to do that, and I even when they would dress me and say, oh my god, you got to see what you look like, I would say, give me a line and a beer and then I'll look in the mirror. Other than that, forget it.
Wow.
Yeah, it was horrible.
Because I've seen some of those pictures from when you were modeling, and I was like, wow.
I haven't seen those.
Yeah, it's a very sort of classic look of the time, definitely.
It really is. I mean, you were a really good model, I have to say. You looked really good. I would have never guessed that you were drunk or on coke or anything else.
Yeah.
Because if you see the picture, it's not video, but everyone in that industry is, you know, pretty much partying. It's a party industry, and you don't eat, you drink and do coke.
Yeah, I imagine eating is probably verboten in the modeling industry.
Okay, so at some point you decided, okay, I want to be a man. Mm-hmm. Did you go out and buy men's clothes and men's, I mean, did you just, was it one day and you just started living your life differently? Was it a gradual thing and then until your procedure?
Yeah.
And dating, you're appealing to a small audience, man. I mean... If you'd have to tell them whether you took home a gal or a gay fella, they're bound to be disappointed if they didn't know.
Right. Okay. Well, to answer the first question, it was a process. I mean, like growing up, I always dressed like a boy, da da da. Even through high school, I did, and I got teased a lot, and I became very withdrawn and very sort of antisocial. I was not, so I got into like athletics, and I got into running, and it was something you can do on your own. So I was always very shy and withdrawn, but I always dressed very masculine. I never wore dresses. I never felt comfortable in that. So I always sort of what you would, I guess, consider cross-dressed for my whole life, basically. And then what happened was I just, you know, through no help of anything, but really my desire to want to be a man and realizing I can do that, did research and found that I could actually have a sex change. Because I did that 20 years ago when there was no internet, really. There was no Google. There was no way for me to sort of find how I could do research on this. And I figured it out on my own and then progressed into, you know, basically having my change. But to talk to you to talk about dating, well, yes. I mean, obviously, I have after my change, and if I met somebody, I've always been very honest about it. I've always been like, if we're gonna have sex, I always immediately tell people about my situation, and we go from there.
Right.
Yeah. Otherwise, they would probably notice.
Yeah, they would notice.
And it's rude and it's disrespectful. I'm not going to bring somebody back and have sex and, you know, something happens. And, you know, that's what happens with transsexual women, you know, women who have penises and they hit on guys and then they bring guys home and then the guy freaks out because they didn't know that she had a penis and he ends up beating the crap out of her. You know what? Like, it's her fault for not telling the guy because he's going to feel totally freaked out by when she pulls out, you know, that penis. It's not okay.
You're the first trans person I've ever heard to say that it's actually the trans fault.
Yeah.
It is.
I'm stunned.
Because I'm very, because it pisses me the fuck off and it's just, it's disrespectful to the other person. I told you I'm very outspoken. And the thing is, you cannot disrespect the other person. They might not be into your penis or they might not be into my vagina. You know what I mean? Like that just might be the barrier. So I have to be honest about that. I don't want to be in a bad situation. So I want you to be into me. You know what I mean? Like fully. I don't want you to be like freaked out by it.
Right. Was there one person in particular that kind of, you know, just, you know, the light switch turned on? It's like, you know, I don't have to live as a woman anymore. Was there one person? I know you said it was a progress.
Yeah, an inspiration kind of thing.
Yeah, inspiration was actually what happened was I saw an underground film where there was a transsexual man like me, a female to male transsexual. This was 20 years ago. It was really ahead of its time. It was a very small artsy art house film. And I saw him and I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh my God. This woman became a man. How come nobody? I went to millions of therapists and psychologists, and all of them kept telling me, oh, you're just a very male-identified woman. And I'm like, no, I feel like a man. But none of them had the tools to tell me that I was really a transsexual man. And so when I saw this movie, it was like, you know, the light bulb came on. And I knew at that point that I had the opportunity to change my life.
How old
are you? There were never any, like, once you made your mind up, there were no second thoughts once you started going down that road.
Oh, God, no. I mean, never. And that's another thing I like to tell people is you better make sure that you're making the right decision. I went to a therapist. I didn't start taking hormones till about a year after I saw that movie and did a lot of my research. And there wasn't even any doctors. I lived in Los Angeles, California. There were not even any doctors that dealt with transsexual men. They only dealt with transsexual women. And I found one who was willing to take me on as his first transsexual man patient and taught, you know, he basically experimented with me with testosterone. He never had done it before, but I was lucky to find him.
Blimey. I can't imagine having your mind made up like that about anything, and that's the reason I've never got a tattoo. I always, you know,
good for you.
I know I'd regret it in 10 years' time.
No, dude, good for you, because I have a lot of shitty tattoos I wish I never would have gotten.
How old were you, Buck, when
you
changed your name and everything?
Yeah. I was 28 years old, sort of late, because a lot of people get to do it now when they're 18, even 16. You know, they're even talking to kids who are 5 and 6 years old now about, you know, gender dysmorphia and being able to do that. So I was old, so pretty much in the scheme of things.
Wow.
That's... Yeah, but you couldn't really have gone much earlier with that, I guess, you know, just because of you know, the times.
Yeah, there was nothing, even my people didn't, like I said, my therapist didn't even know. She just kept saying that I'm a very male-identified female, whatever the hell that is.
That's kind of cool to hear someone that has did the research and really decided this is what I want to do.
Yes. I guess it doesn't work for everyone.
Right.
No, it doesn't work for everyone, and it's not for everyone. And that is another thing that I'm very outspoken of. It doesn't mean just because you feel masculine or you feel feminine that you're transgender. It just means, okay, maybe you are a little bit more on the masculine side. I think too many people are taking it as a black and white situation. It's not. You know, live masculine or fem. Maybe he should wear women's clothes and feel how he feels for a while. Because once you start that procedure, there's right. a lot of changes that you're never going to be able to get back once you do that. So it really is a life-altering situation. It's not like, oh, I'm just going to try it for now, and then if it doesn't work for me, I'm going to stop. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah, there's really no turning back, is there? Especially once you have the bottom surgery.
Exactly. And that's not why I didn't do it. But, like, the thing is, I've already met, like, many guys like me who started taking the testosterone and then realized it was the wrong decision for them. There's a lot of characteristics, physical characteristics that change once you start shooting testosterone in your body, like your jawline changes, I lost all my hair, my voice changed, you know, I started growing bigger, many things that even if I stopped taking testosterone now would never revert back to that way I was.
Right.
Yeah. Do you feel like you got smarter when you started taking testosterone?
I think that's a trick question. Don't try it.
No, not at all. You obviously got physically stronger, and men can do more and are smarter on average than women.
Jesus.
On average.
Okay, here's the thing.
Did you think I wouldn't say that I'm better?
I wouldn't say I got smarter, but I would say that I think about things in a different manner, for sure. I definitely have a different way of looking at things. I have a different way of reacting to things. I have a different way of my overall presence of how the world looks to me is completely different.
Okay. And you started barbecuing a lot more.
Okay, so let me see if it would you say that this fits? Because the stereotype is that men are more logical and women are more emotional. Yeah. Would you say that you fell more into the logical kind of thinking rather than the emotional?
Yes, and I don't want it to sound sexist your female.
It's not. It's just true.
Listeners, you have, but
right.
No, it is. It's not sexist at all. It is just true. People are different, and it's not bad to say that. If we're equally smart, why are there different divisions in chess?
No, I totally understand that.
Women's division,
and I can tell you that I lived in the female body before, and now I live in the male body, and I have testosterone in my body. My mind definitely thinks. It takes in things a little more logically than it did before, where I would get a little more emotional. I would react as opposed to now I sort of just kind of. And the other thing I noticed about being a guy is like my guy friends and hanging out. If like we get into, some shit with each other, then it's like it's done in like 10 minutes. Do you know what I mean? Where before it was like
rude and
on time.
Yeah, women can definitely hold a grudge a lot longer than...
That's right, years. Fucking hell. So, Buck, you said you didn't have the full surgery because it's not quite there yet, the technology.
Right.
If it was, would you have it done?
No, I wouldn't. And
you still wouldn't? Is that because of what you've experienced in the last 20 years?
I think there's a couple reasons. I think one being, you know, I'm so comfortable with myself and who I am. And, you know, I put myself out there as, you know, a man with a vagina and it's part of my business. Not to say that if it wasn't perfect, I probably would have done it before. But now I'm just so comfortable with myself that to go through surgery is not fun. Trust me, it's horrible. And I don't know if you've ever had surgery, but it's a nightmare. And there still is going to always be that risk of something happening. It's like, I don't really need to have a penis that bad. I feel like a man. I am a man. Whatever that means to feel like a man, I feel like a whole person. I don't really need... I think now what would happen is I would get that penis to sort of make everybody else feel good about me being a man. Do you know what I mean? It wouldn't so much be about myself. So I don't need to tell the world that I'm a man just because I have a penis. So it's just not necessary for
me. Right. So in an ideal world, though, do you wish that you'd been born a man in the first place?
Well, you know, that's actually a very good question. I think that I wouldn't be the person I am today if I hadn't been born the way I was born and dealt with all the crap I had to deal with to get to where I am now. So that being said, I think no. I think I'm happy with how my life turned out. But if you asked me that question 20 years ago, I would have said, no, I wish I would have been born a man.
Right. And you wouldn't have had the porn career for starters.
Well, who knows? Maybe I would have been born with a big, huge penis, right?
It doesn't guarantee a movie, I promise.
We can all wish.
Were your parents religious? Did you grow up religious?
My parents, my dad never went to church. My mom, we grew up Baptist, so which is kind of really hardcore.
Oh, wow.
Very hardcore.
What state? Where did you
grow up? Well, I grew up in California, but my mom was from West Virginia. And so, yeah, we grew up around that. And, you know, what's weird is always when I was a little kid, I hated going to church. Number one, because I always got a weird, creepy feeling when I went in. Number two, they made me wear a dress. And I would throw a huge fit because I was a guy. I'd be a guy all day. Everything would be cool. But when I went to church, my mom would have to put me in a dress for some reason.
And I had the same problem. It's like an atheist today.
Really?
No. Oh, yeah, some of the priests feel the same as well.
Yeah. I see that you've done a lot of PSAs and whatnot. I've checked out a bunch of that on YouTube and stuff. You're really big into the advocacy part of what you do now.
I am, because really, you know, I still do my adult work and I love my adult work, but I don't want to be an 80-year-old porn star. So what I realized that I have a message, and, you know, I have a lot of fans who don't watch my porn and who don't even care to watch my porn, but they really like my message of feeling like, you know, you don't have to be a certain way that society makes you feel to be who you are, is my message. It's just be who you are. So I decided that, you know, I wanted to start doing more educational stuff. And so I started delving into doing PSAs and doing speaking at schools and, you know, reaching out to another sort of part of society. And it's really been great for me. People are, you know, look, I'm talking to you guys who probably would have never talked to me before.
No, absolutely not. Yeah, you're right. So are you phasing the porn work out, Buck?
No, I think that I'll always be. What I'm doing now is I'm filming a new film, and that film is sort of like this, my new idea, which is a sex educational pornography. And what it is basically I'm filming a bunch of guys like me, and I'm doing interviews with them, and then they're going into
the
sex
scene.
Oh my God, there's millions of them, but the thing is, not very many that want to.
Well, there's not millions.
Oh, yes, there is.
Well, that'd be like Ben Hur, wouldn't it?
Now, is this sexing the trans man?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, yeah, I've seen you've been promoting the trailer online. I would encourage people to go and check that out. It's even though there's not really nudity in it, it's probably still not safe for work, but at least, you know, check it out.
Yeah, I mean, you can just pull the sound out. But no, it's actually to music, and everything that has any graphics is covered. So it actually, you know, I made the trailer more sort of like a documentary trailer so people could check it out.
I have to say, it's one of the most unique and awesome titles I've ever heard.
Thank you.
What's the title song like? I can't wait to hear that.
Oh, by the way, Booze has a song he does for you.
Yeah, we'll be adding this to the podcast. He did a kind of James Bond-esque Man with a Pussy theme.
I was going to do one live.
Yeah.
Well, this was how you originally turned up in our consciousness, Buck, was that Belasco mentioned you in a podcast we did a few weeks back and said you were the man with the pussy. And, yeah, we kind of imagined you as a Bond villain.
That's awesome. I love it.
If they really want to bring Bond in at 21st century, surely they should
have a go.
That's
the way to do it. Yes. That's the way.
You never know. I mean, who knows? Maybe someday someone will get balls enough to ask me to be in a mainstream film. We'll see.
You have any interest in mainstream films? Is that a goal?
No, it's not a goal, but I think it would be awesome to be a character in some movie, you know, some Quentin Tarantino film or something like that. I think it would be totally amazing and awesome, and I would do it, but it's not something I'm aspiring to be as an actor.
Right. You know, who are some of your filmmaking influences? I know you're making the documentary now. Who would you say has inspired you as a filmmaker?
Well, you know, that's actually a really good question. I don't think I have I think it's just coming from my brain and from me feeling that there's never been a representation of people like me in pornography. That's why I did it, because right. wasn't anybody doing it. I'm the first person, and I'm still the only guy like myself in the whole adult industry. So that's why I'm making these new films, as I want to bring more guys like me into the industry and make it into a genre. But I think that my inspiration was the fact that there was nothing, and there was nothing being represented in the industry. There's nothing out there, and I felt like I sort of had this idea, and I just went with it. And then I never in my wildest dreams would think it could blow up to where it's gotten to today. I mean, it just sort of was, and it happened.
So you have complete creative control over all your work, Buck, when it comes to 100%. Films.
I have my own company. I made my own company. The reason that happened was because I signed a 12-picture deal with a very big adult company, and they screwed me over and stopped paying me my money. So I said, you know what? Fuck you. And I started my own business, my own company. And then from there, it just blew up.
You know, from a lot of the biographies I've read, I've heard that that's not an uncommon experience in the adult industry.
Yes.
But,
there's some scumbags in there, no doubt.
Oh, of course.
No doubt. Yeah. Not the whole industry. I don't want people to think, like, no, not the whole industry is like that. There's a lot of great people. I have a lot of great business connections. I do business with amazing people. And it's just a one part of it. Just like everybody, just like Wall Street, they're scary. They're a bunch of crooks.
Sure. Is there anything, what's the strangest thing you've ever been asked to do on film and you just had to turn down?
Well, I don't know if it's strange, but here's the deal. I am a very, very safe sex oriented. I only do safe sex, and I'm a safe sex educator. I believe that, yes, there should be porn. I mean, there should be condoms in all porn. A lot of people agree with me because...
I was going to say, this is probably the main reason Dr. P's never seen your films.
Yeah, I think so.
It's not cool. Like, it's not 1950. People get sick now. It's not, you know, like when you shoot your load and it gets somewhere, people get sick from it. And people have to learn to use condoms. It's just part of the way the world is now. And so, you know, I have been asked millions of times to do, you know, barebacking stuff. And I won't do it. The one funny thing that happened to me on set was I was working with a guy. And he was going down on me, and he thought that my vagina was man-made. And he was like, wow, dude, they did such a great job on your vagina. And I was like, no, dude, it's real.
I'm gonna go with this barebacking thing. It's okay. A big deal in the gay porn world to the extent that they give it a name. But in the straight porn world, they don't even name it.
No, they don't, because all straight porn is barebacking porn. That's why. Yeah. So in the gay porn,
all the good stuff, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I completely understand. Look, I don't have a dick. I don't know what it feels like not to wear a condom, okay? All I know is that I'm an actor, and that I'm also an educator, and that for me to do unsafe sex in my porn is showing people that it's okay not to wear condoms. That's the way I look at it. I look at it as, like, my responsibility as an educator and as a filmmaker to show you that using condoms is not a bad thing, and it doesn't mean you can't enjoy sex. Whatever you do in your own time and your own place, I don't really care. But it's me as a filmmaker. I really feel like I have to show you that you have the option to use condoms, and it's not the end of the world if you do use a condom.
And one day the condom technology will be there, just like the, you know, penis surgery technology.
Yes.
And we'll all be happy.
Yeah, eventually they'll make something that you'll be able to feel like you're not even wearing it, for sure.
Well, right now it's at the rotary phone phase of the technology. I am not a fan.
You are not? Yeah. Really? That's
no,
just...
I do not care for condoms. I remember I got my first AIDS test when I was about 22, and I was terrified. Sure. And the doctor basically said...
You never got one again. No,
the doctor said, you know... You probably have nothing to worry about. And it was a wait back then, too. It was like a couple days. And sure enough, I didn't have it. And I've been pretty carefree since.
Yeah, but actually, the only person on the podcast that has a child is Booze.
And now I always wear a condom.
And the only one who's married on the podcast, unless you are, Buck, is Lester.
Your wife is actually a very... is a renowned body piercer and I guess tattoos too as well, right?
No, she's just a body piercer. She's pretty. Okay. Yeah, she's like very, very famous.
Has she done any of yours?
Yeah, she did. She did my nipple. That's it. That's all I have is my nipple pierce. Other than that, I don't want any more. It's like,
okay.
I don't say as much. Okay. But she wrote the book. She wrote a book on body piercing. It's like the body piercing book called the Piercing Bible. And she's very well renowned in the world with body piercing. So we're both kind of pioneers in our industry. I mean, she was one of the first, worked at the first shop in the United States that basically started the whole body piercing movement.
And Buck's wife is Elaine Angel, so check her out and check out her book if you're into the whole thing. I've
so
often
you're a straight man.
Am I sorry?
So you're a straight man?
No, I don't identify as anything. I am married to a woman, but I don't like sort of identify as a straight man because I still have sex with men, and so you know I basically consider myself a pig. That's like if you're gonna ask me what I am, I'm a pig.
Okay,
you come to the right place.
That was my next question, and you answered it. So thank you very much.
Hey Buck, I saw you do that. Mark Quinn did a sculpture of you.
Yeah, yes.
Oh my God, that's a big deal. I think that's the first time I heard of you, although I didn't know your name then. But yeah, that was quite a big deal over here. How long ago was that?
He's amazing. Mark, he called me up on the phone. He's like a very, very, if you guys aren't familiar with him, he's a very famous artist, British artist. And he did a life-size sculpture of me, a nude. And then he did one of me and a trans woman holding hands, and we're totally nude, and it's basically like considered like the new Adam and Eve, because it's like kind of funny, like we basically have switched genitalia, which is kind of interesting. But no, it's totally huge. Those are really going around the world now and like becoming really pretty famous in the art world.
Yeah, because Quinn did the other two probably don't know, but it was a big deal over in England in Trafalgar Square. They got the fourth plinth.
Exactly.
And they changed what they put there, and it was one of Quinn's sculptures of Alison Lapper. And
exactly.
She was born without arms. She had the tiny legs, and he did a sculpture of her when she was pregnant and put that up, and it caused such a stink.
I know.
You wouldn't believe. Which is, you know, imagine if they put you up there, Buck. That would have been something else.
He's trying. Actually, he's trying. You know, I go to London a lot, actually. I work in London a lot, so I'm over there all the time. But he
Do you ride the tube?
He's... No, I fucking hate the tube. Are you kidding me? I'd rather walk. Isn't the tube always broken? There's something wrong.
If I've got anything to do with it, it is I'm a tube driver, Buck.
Oh no, you're kidding.
I don't take it personally, Jesus.
Of course not. It's not. You're just a job. It's your job. It's always broken.
If it's not broke, we're on strike. That's the way it goes.
I don't blame you. I'm on strike.
Yeah, but the Daily Mail would love it, you know, if we had a statue of Buck up in Trafalgar Square, just under Nelson's column.
Oh, they would eat it up. Are you kidding me? They would love it.
That'd be awesome.
No, actually, I think, to be honest with you, I find the British to be a little more open-minded than the United States. I mean, that's why I work more over there than I do in the United States, because they, as much as people think they're a little uptight over there, you guys aren't. You are definitely a little more open-minded around sexuality and sex and things like that.
I believe that 100%.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's probably because, I guess in America, you've got the whole Midwest thing, and whereas in Britain, you know, you've got the tabloid, you've got the newspapers and the TV. Everyone sees everything.
Yes.
You know, so everyone gets inured to the same things at the same rate. So if you live in London or you live in Newcastle or wherever, you're being shown the same things. If you live in Ohio, maybe you're not. I don't know.
Right.
You're right. The media is much more open over there. They do. You can see nudity and they talk. I mean, they had me on, I think it was a morning show over there, which is a pretty big show. And they were talking to me about my sex work on, you know, some morning show that, you know, housewives watch and... Vernon Phillip, yes.
Wow, I'm going to have to find this link. I've got to see that.
Yeah. It's on my YouTube channel. You'll see it.
So, Buck, you currently live in Mexico. What was it that sent you there? Because I see tweets every now and then from you about how glad you are to live in Mexico when certain law enforcement officials in America overstep their bounds. So what actually led you to live in Mexico?
Well, a couple things. I was living in New Orleans at the time Hurricane Katrina hit. And I had already bought my house in the Yucatan. I live in the Yucatan in Mexico. And because I was, they were changing a lot of the laws around the adult industry. Not a lot of people who are not in the adult industry know, but they had a new law called the obscenity law, which basically you could get arrested for anything that they deemed obscene. Well, hello, Buck Angel is pretty obscene. So I got a little freaked out, and I was like, great, you know, it's getting weird here in America, and I'm getting a little over it. So I found a house here, and I bought it, and it was like, you know, everything was great, but I didn't move yet. Hurricane Katrina hit, and I moved back to – I lived in the French Quarter, and I moved back after Katrina after a month, and it was like a nightmare there. I was like, why am I living here? You know, nothing was being done. It was like I couldn't believe – it was worse than a third world country there. It was horrible. And the government wasn't doing anything. So I like – I packed up my bags, and I moved to the Yucatan, and that was 5 years ago, and I've never looked back.
So I'm curious. Actually, this was a question that was brought up by one of the people I know on Facebook. If you were to compete in any type of athletic competition, what gender would you have to classify as? And I would assume that it would be male since you are legally considered a male.
Right. You assume right. But because the fact that I still have a vagina, even though my birth certificate was not amended, my birth certificate was literally ripped, my old birth certificate was ripped up, and they issued me a brand new birth certificate that shows that I was born male. So that's really a very hard birth certificate to get. I got it before 9/11. Now they don't. Now they amend birth certificates. So, with that said, I am legally a man. There's nothing they can do about it. But what I heard was if I was to go to prison, God forbid, then they would actually have to put me in the woman's section because they go off of, they basically define you by your genitals. That's kind of a good thing. I really wouldn't want to go into the men's prison. I would be getting raped every fucking minute.
Yeah. I think I read on your website an incident you had in Louisiana where you got pulled over and, that was just absolutely horrifying to me.
It was a bad experience that I will never, and I always make sure that now, and I didn't do anything. I got pulled over for nothing. I got pulled over because I made a wrong left-hand turn, and he pulled me over, and I'm like, well, okay, whatever. So I give him my license, but my license, and I was going to a leather party, so I'm dressed all in leather, and I looked like a skinhead, and it was a black cop, and I know it was racist. I'm not racist. I don't have any thing about that doesn't matter, but I know. I could tell what was going on. He was totally fucking with me because I was white, I had a bald head, I had tattoos, I'm in leather.
And he assumed skinhead?
Totally. He had it out for me. I could feel it. And I gave him my license, and it was a California license at the time, and he's like, well, I can arrest you because you don't have a Louisiana license. I'm like, but it's legal. My license is illegal. He's like, it's the law. Anyways, he arrests me because my license is not Louisiana, and I was like, oh, my God. And then
He arrested you for being out of state, essentially?
Exactly. And so that's what I'm telling you. He had it out for me. And so whatever, I get put in there, and I go through the whole thing. And luckily that night I was packing. I put a sock in my underwear so it looked like I had a dick, but I usually don't do that.
And I do that sometimes.
You'd also get raped in prison.
So anyway, they stripped me down to my underwear. I couldn't believe it. They were like totally mistreating me. And I get through the part where I have to go to the doctor and I have to tell them if I have anything wrong with me. And then I tell them, actually, I'm a transsexual man, but I think he misunderstood what I was saying, and he thought I said that I'm a homosexual man. Well, thank God he misunderstood me, because then I got to go into the little side cage, which basically only had, it had an old man, it had a prostitute, and then it had me. And I was like, the rest of the place was so scary with just like gangsters, gangbangers, just like looking at me like, oh, if I would have gone into that cage, I would have been eaten alive. No doubt.
Wow.
Yeah. It was,
oh my God.
Away. An hour later, my wife bailed me out and I got out, and it was nothing. I didn't even have to pay a fine. That's why I know that the cop was just messing with me.
Did you not turn him in or?
Of course. I made a report against him and everything. Yeah. But it didn't matter. It was illegal. What he did was actually a law in Louisiana. It's at the discretion of the police officer.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, I heard a couple of interviews where you say you don't consider yourself a bottom.
Yeah.
Which I understand. I can understand that because from watching straight porn, there's definitely women who are not bottoms.
Yes.
You know?
Exactly.
But you also said that you don't, consider yourself in any way female when you've got a big biker dude basically fucking you in the vagina.
Right.
I think that's a hard thing for people to get their heads around.
Right. I totally understand that. And you have to understand that I don't judge people for not for having those questions about me. And I think it's totally normal. And because we've been sort of conditioned to basically think that what's between your legs is what's what defines you. Sort of like my vagina defines me as a woman and your penis defines you as a man. And what I'm trying to show people is that what's between my legs has nothing to do with me as a man or a woman. It just is part of my body. So, you know, lots of biological men get banged in the ass, and that's a hole too, right? So they're men.
Yeah, I know, but I think, see, this is the thing, because if there was a big biker dude behind me, you know, going at it hammer and tongs, I think I would find it slightly emasculating. And if I had a vagina as well, that would probably add to it.
Yeah, I totally understand that, because you weren't born with your vagina. I was, so I'm totally used to my vagina, and my vagina doesn't feel female to me. I mean, I couldn't even tell you what it feels like to be female, because even when I was female, I always felt like a male. So I, you know, it's to me, it's just another hole, and it's a hole that feels good, and so why shouldn't I be able to use my hole that feels good just because people think that it's female, and if I use it, then I'm getting, you know, having sex like a woman. What I'm trying to say is I like what I have and I want to use what I have because it feels good what I have. So it doesn't make me feel any way like a woman because I don't even know what it feels like to be a woman. I have no idea. I just feel like a guy. Yeah. I mean,
most guys would feel that the act of being penetrated in any way, apart from stabbed, they probably prefer to be stabbed. But that's what I'm saying.
I mean, the thing is,
otherwise,
that's because
they find it emasculating.
That's because they've never been penetrated right. Now, if they were penetrated right, they would actually change their mind about it. And here's the deal. When I'm being penetrated, it's not like I'm in a situation where I'm feeling like I'm sort of being topped. I'm being penetrated because I want to be penetrated, and I'm sort of in control of the situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's more toppy. I'm topping the situation. But again, it doesn't in any way make me feel sort of emasculated. But I completely understand why a biological man would think about it. Because he doesn't have a vagina, and isn't what it feels like.
Whenever there's anything that's related to BDSM, you know, which, for those that don't know, bondage, domination, sadomasochism, it seems like the sub is always in control.
Yes, that's a good point. Actually, that's called topping from the bottom.
Now that I did not know. I'm glad to know that.
And that's not really how it's supposed to be.
You're not following Pete?
The thing is, Pete, I mean, me and you, I didn't know about all this bottoming and topping. You know, I just thought it was the postman and the letterbox, basically. Mm-hmm. You know, because as a straight man, I don't mind going on the bottom. That's because I'm lazy. You know, in the gay world, it's a totally different thing, I guess, being a bottom.
Right.
Even in the BDSM world, bottom is a completely different experience because, I mean, the bottom is the one that really controls the safe word. Rarely do you have the dom that would ever have to use the safe word.
Right. You're right. You're totally
I'm
right.
I'm assuming you're talking about someone who's playing a submissive by the sub and a dominatrix or something, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah.
How is the person getting high heels stepped on him and smacked in the balls? How is he in control?
He's in control because he can, well, depending on who he's with, if he's going to a very professional organization, then he is the one that control. The safe word is really the turnkey.
If he's in an Eli Roth film, he's in trouble. But yeah, in the real world,
he's in prison, he's in real trouble.
Well, exactly. Yeah,
the sub is literally a sub in that case.
Yes,
foot long.
But yeah, I mean, in your typical, I mean, it's one of the things in your typical BDSM scenario. I mean, even though they're called the sub, they're really the one in that has the most control of the situation because they can stop it at any time.
Yes,
they should change the name then.
You got a point. You got a point. Hey, Buck, I know you've gotten some hate mail over the years.
Yeah, a lot.
Does that still bother you?
You know, in the beginning, it bothered me a lot, and I would, you know, get really upset and write back nasty shit. Oh, my God. Now I actually find it sort of a compliment in a weird way, because what it is I'm making people have to go to a place that they don't want to go to. So I'm sort
yeah,
of...
They're obviously spending some time thinking about you.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. If I can make somebody have that kind of emotion about just me being naked, I mean, that's pretty powerful, don't you think?
Yeah. We got some pretty bad stuff after we did our Robin Williams podcast, so we know how you feel.
Yeah, the fans didn't like that one.
You got that line, Buck, about, you know, it's not what's between your legs that defines you.
Right.
Did you hear about that Canadian couple that were trying to bring up their children?
Yes.
Basically without anyone knowing what gender they were.
Yes, I did.
What did you think of that?
Well, I think that they're entitled to do whatever they want because it's their child. I think that the world isn't ready for that. I mean, they're not even ready for a man with a vagina, right? So I think to sort of put your child in that position could possibly come back to kick you in the ass. And I don't know if they're... I mean, I think their intentions are great. I really do. I think that they're... But I'm not sure if using your child for that situation is a great thing. You know what I mean?
Because the problem was a little boy,
wasn't it? You could tell.
Well, it looked like, yeah. I think the problem is what Dr. P said and what we've spoke to you about is, you know, there is an inherent difference between men and women. There seems to be anyway.
Yes.
So if they're going to grow up perfectly happy with their gender roles, then why put, you know, that pressure on them at such an early age and make an issue of it?
And make an issue of it. Exactly. That's the whole thing. My parents didn't really make an issue of it. They just let me be. And I think because of that, I was pretty normal as a child. It's when puberty hit and things started getting all wacky. And then my parents started getting all wacky because their friends started telling them, well, what are you doing? You know, you have that's a girl, not a boy, and you're treating him as a boy. So my parents felt very weird about the fact that they just sort of let me be a boy even though I was a girl. Do you know what I mean? Society has all these rules that they put on everybody that we're supposed to follow. And when we don't follow them, it sort of gets everybody all. So I think
it freaks them out.
That child's going to be, so who knows? Maybe people are going to start teasing him and, you know, like, or her, whatever.
I think that's a given. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, definitely.
Don't you think that, at least in America, it's a little more acceptable for a girl to be a tomboy than a boy to be a feminine?
Hell yes.
Oh, my God, 100%. I could never have been, you know, little Buck running around like that. If I was Buck and then I was acting like little Susie, no way. I would have got my ass kicked every day. Are you kidding?
Is it the same way in the UK, Booze? I mean, yeah. I'm sure they don't.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But even to the extent that, I mean, I know straight girls love to hang around with gay guys, and it's the same when I was at school. I mean, there were the kids that were very obviously gay at the age of 10, 11, whatever. But the other way around, tomboys can be fanciable by straight men.
Sure.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
They won't necessarily hang out with them all the time, but they might fancy them.
Right.
But that prejudice runs deep, though, because it's no big deal for two women to kiss on television, but, you know.
Not now, no. It was a big deal, though.
That's because the world is run by straight men, and straight men have they fancy two women kissing, and it's an erotic thing for men. But they don't fancy two men kissing. That was like, hey, that's totally...
This is an interesting thing, because I definitely want to ask you about this, because it seems like now, and don't get me wrong, that the fashion industry seems to be controlled by gay men, because I'm actually prefer more, I prefer women that are, you know, curvy and soft and whatnot.
They would have to reinforce those catwalks if I had my way.
Yeah, the fashion industry tends to present women that have a more boyish look. I mean, they call it heroin chic, I guess, but
they don't look developed to me.
Mm.
No, it's very twisted and it's wrong and it sends a bad idea to girls how they should look. And it's the whole thing is really sexist and fucked up, but you're right. It's run by gay men and it's obviously they have no attraction to women and they don't want to see full-figured women out there with... me too. I like girls who have body and have boobs and butt. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, yeah, like have a normal body. That is not a normal female body.
Right. Now, having lived as both a female and a male, I'm curious as to your opinion as to which gender is worse about playing head games in relationships.
That's women. Come on.
I don't think that's a gender.
Answered that thing.
I don't think that's a gender thing. Men can be just as fucked up as women. Don't try it. So
okay.
Men can stalk women. I mean, it happens all the time. And women can stalk men. So I personally don't think that, you know, I mean, of course you get a bunch of guys in a room and they're all going to be talking crap. And you get a bunch of girls in the room and they're going to say the same thing. I mean, I think that's not really gender. I think that's more specific. People can just be so screwed up and do weird stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Buck, when you were on Howard Stern's show, did you feel a little bit used after that? Or do you just see it as part of, you know, getting your message out there and whatever they want me to do, whatever?
No, totally. I'm a PR whore, dude. And so, you know what? When they asked
me much better than that, yeah.
When they asked me to come on that show, all I saw was huge amount of traffic, right? And so I was like, okay, I didn't go on there not knowing who Howard Stern is, please. Of course I did. And I know that he can be a total jerk, and I know that it can be totally like very, they're going to try to get me to cry, or they're going to try to get me. You can't do that. It's not possible. So of course I knew exactly what they were going to do. And when Howard told me, let's get Buck to ride the Sibian, I was the first one to say, yes, let's do it. And then that's what Albert freaked out. And he was like, that's gay. We can't do it. And I'm the one who talked them into letting me get on that thing, because I knew there was going to make huge amounts of traffic for me.
I'll be honest with you. That's how I found out about you.
Exactly. See, see that? For the rest of my life, that thing is going to be so great for me. When the camera came on, they were all acting. They're not like that. They were the nicest guys. Howard was so great. And, you know, they still talk about me to this day. And so you know, I was actually Howard's most memorable guest ever that he's ever had on his show. I mean, how you can't beat that. You know what I mean?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
It certainly burned into my memory.
People try to mess with me, and I don't take anything personal when they call me a woman and all that. I don't really care. Like, it means nothing to me. It's kind of funny, I think.
So now let me ask you a question about the adult industry in general. Another one of my favorite movies ever is Matt Parker and Trey Stone's Orgasmo.
Oh, great.
And one of the things they feature in there is the stunt cock. Does that actually happen?
Well, it depends. You know, I've had to do that on my when I first started, there was nobody that would work with me. I was sort of blacklisted in the industry because I was considered very weird. And I presented something that's never been presented in the adult industry ever in the history of the adult industry. People were completely disgusted. In the adult industry where they do 5 million man gangbangs and they do...
Yeah. Why would they have a problem there?
Because I freaked them out. They just couldn't deal with me. So I couldn't even find talent to shoot with me. And I had to... That was a very, very difficult thing for me to do. I had to, like, find guys on the streets and offer them money, you know, good money to sort of do... And so what would happen is they would get to do the scene, but they weren't into me. And then they would have a hard-on, and then they would immediately lose their hard-on when we were running sex.
Wow.
That happened all the time. Yeah. Yeah, it was, you know, so we had to start, you know, kind of trying to figure out ways to get these guys to sort of stay hard. And
wow.
Yeah, a couple times we had to.
Well, it would take some getting used to. I mean.
Yeah, of course.
That's not something people have encountered before, I wouldn't imagine, or certainly.
I have to say, I saw your scene with Alana Starr.
Oh, great.
And I have to say, in all of my vast porn watching experience, it was probably the most confusing scene I've ever watched.
That's probably why people don't want to watch it, Rasko, just in case they have their head turned.
That was the point.
Oh, wow. Look at those tits. And oh, wait a minute. There's a dick attached to those tits. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, shoot. Okay, there's the vagina. Oh, wait a minute. That's a dude. And it was just confusing. But I have to say, I mean, you really are a pioneer in the industry with things like that. That's absolutely amazing.
I know. And, you know, we were up for the award for the most outrageous sex scene. Can you believe we lost? We should have won that.
Who actually did win that?
Who too? A camel.
I'll tell you who won. It was a big gangbang scene. I'm like, what? That's been like, who can't? Gangbangs are normal now. They're not outrageous.
Yeah, but they probably just had one more person than last time. Buck.
Yeah.
Broke a record.
Come on, the Buck Angel Alana Star scene was far more
totally
mind blowing than anything else.
My research hasn't stretched quite this far.
Wow, it wasn't necessarily the thing that got me off, but I have to say, I feel like my mind has been expanded by seeing it.
Well, the fact that you took the time to watch it says a lot about you. It doesn't mean that you have to be turned on by it, but you were
eight times.
I kind of do have to know. I have to know in the Alana Star scene. I mean, obviously you had a dildo with tubing attached.
Tubing?
Exactly. Yeah.
No, that's his testosterone logical mind. He whipped that up. Just
my clit. That wasn't a tube.
Right. So you had a dildo with tubing attached to it. It seemed like, and this is just me from my viewing of it, it seemed like, and I was there tubing involved as well there?
No, and there wasn't tubing either. Mine was
CGI.
Just on. Mine was strapped on. There wasn't any tubing there. No.
Okay.
You got to look at it again, man.
Okay, I'm just thinking of the money shot there, and I was just like...
Oh, no, that was really her. She really shot her load on me.
Wow.
It was directed by MacGyver. Right.
I honestly suspected, you know, because of the hormones and...
Oh, no, she can really do it. Actually, she's the girl who's in the sculpture, Mark Quinn sculpture with me. That's me and Alana Starr in the Mark Quinn sculpture.
She was a squirter as a woman, I bet.
Wow. Okay.
Buck, I've got one more question for you. I know we've gone, you know, quite long. And please tell me if you are offended by this, because I think it's the most awkward question of the evening. But with all the body transformation you've had and all the money you've spent on yourself and the way you've changed yourself externally, how comes you haven't dyed your moustache?
You mean because I'm a ginger, you mean? Are you talking shit about me being a ginger?
No, I didn't even know you were. I just thought you had fair hair. Oh, God, now I've become a racist. No, because I'm kind of in the same boat. I've got the full beard. It's not that dark to begin with. And now, you know, a bit of grey. I'm thinking about going for the Just for Beards. You know, but it's very difficult to do with a full beard. For you, just need a little... No, you could draw it on.
Well,
how come you haven't gone for that?
Like
a bit more definition.
No, because I don't really care. And actually, it takes me like 10 years to grow the facial hair that I have. So I'm just like, whatever. It doesn't matter to me. It's like, I don't know. You know, the thing that I dislike more is actually my red being a ginger. I'm not really into it.
No, I think I've hit a nerve.
No.
Amazingly. What I'd really like to do is to, you know, fly a P down there to Mexico, have him stay with you, Buck, for a couple of days, and I think it'd make a pretty good documentary.
I think it would, too.
Well, you know, I actually have a documentary coming out. It's called Mr. Angel, and we're just finishing the Kickstarter campaign to finish funding it. And if you just go to Kickstarter and put in Mr. Angel, you can see the trailer for it. I think you'll enjoy watching.
Cool. You should probably get together with our friend Casey Ryan and talk about that on his show.
Casey Ryan is a guy that does a podcast called The Cutting Room Floor that is all about getting funding for independent film.
Oh, cool.
And then promoting them.
Yeah,
oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
So, yeah. Are you familiar with Inside the Actor Studio, Buck?
Of course. I love that show. It's hilarious.
Okay. Do you you want to go through those final questions James Lipton always goes through?
Hell.
Are you willing to do that?
Sure. Why not?
What is your favorite word?
Fuck.
What is your least favorite word?
I can't. I guess that's two, right?
That'll work.
Okay.
Can't. Yeah.
Okay. What turns you on?
Sex.
What turns you off?
Idiots.
What sound or noise do you love?
The wind.
What sound or noise do you hate?
Screeching.
What is your favorite curse word?
Fuck.
That's probably his favorite word. What do you think? Could have passed on that one.
What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
A chef.
Oh, cool. What profession would you not like to do?
Oh, let's see. Cleaning house.
Cleaning house. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you are at the pearly gates?
Come on in.
Here's your dick.
Awesome. Buck, thank you so much for taking the time. I know we've
those
kept you on
exactly
for a long time.
Those are exactly the same answers as Whoopi Goldberg gave. Do you know that?
No way.
Fantastic. Buck, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thanks.
We really do appreciate it.
No, you guys are great. Thank you so much, and I hope that your listeners are enlightened somehow. Or
it's
else
definitely
you...
been educational, Buck. Definitely.
I think they will be. And that will do it for this episode of the Sweet Vithery Jesus Podcast. A million thanks to Buck Angel for coming on the show and answering our probably extremely dumb questions. It was very enlightening, and we loved having him on. It was such a good interview, and was such a good time talking to him. We really appreciate it. Also, keep in mind that Buck is filming a movie right now called Sexing a Trans Man. The trailer is out on the internet right now, and you can also get more information on Buck Angel at buckangel.com. So take a look there and find something you like. We'll be back soon with another episode of the Sweet Feathery Jesus Podcast. Special thank you to Booze and Dr. P for joining me on this special interview edition of the SweetFeatheryJesus.com podcast. And we'll see you next time. Keep in touch and let us know what you like, dislike, or what you want to see on the upcoming episodes of this podcast. Thank you very much. This is Velasco for SweetFeatheryJesus.com.
Wow, dude, they did such a great job on your vagina.